This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Limitations apply.
He still believes the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and the world's most famous groupie. Yes, yes. Pamela DeBar is with us, and she has a podcast called Miss Pamela's Pajama Party, which is fantastic. She's going to be doing some live, secrets, some talk, it's just going to be some fun stuff. And she's with us here in the National Defense. Pamela, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm here in L.A. It's raining. I love it. It's a rare occurrence.
Yeah, all over the world right now, you can't predict the weather, but you have had some kind of a life. I mean, you know, you've been mentioned with Mick Jagger, Jimmy Page, Jim Morrison, Graham Parsons. I mean, Jim Morrison, it's going back.
They're going way back. Yeah, I'm a septuagenarian, so it's really funny when people try to give me grief about my past, you know? I lived during a time when almost anything went. I mean, it was a magical, revolutionary renaissance in music, in spirituality, sensuality. I mean, everything, there were love-ins. I mean, people, you could walk up and down the strip and run into all the rock stars you wanted to. It was an open time, open-hearted time that will never come again. So, I knew it while I was living it. Even though I was young, I kept my diaries, and they're all chock-a-block full of all this incredible stuff and these amazing people I spent time with. So these shows I'm doing, you know, I'm reading from my diaries, I'm reading from my books, I'm showing photos, playing snippets of music that kept me going and got me where I wanted to be. And I was in an all-girl band, and the GTOs with Frank Zappa was our producer and our mentor. So I was right in the thick of it, and people are interested in that because it's mythology now, and there are not many of us left to talk about it.
Well, and you know, Pamela, people give you grief. Those same people wish they were you. They wish they'd been back in that time.
That's true.
Yeah, we're talking to Pamela DeBar.
That's exactly true.
Yeah, and I don't know, Pamela.
That's right.
When I was doing a morning show, a daily morning show on the radio, I interviewed somebody. I don't think it was you. I think it was a groupie named Melissa who had also written a book. And she, it could have been you, but whoever it was told me at the time that Huey Lewis is the biggest and Peter Frampton is the smallest.
That was Sweet Connie.
Sweet Connie, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's... She she has a chapter in my fourth book, Let's Spend the Night Together, and in the documentary I did. So, yes. Sweet Connie, that was her. See, I don't divulge stuff like that. But Connie was very open about that stuff. She was very open about size. I never get into that.
Well,
but yes, she's the one who said that.
I had that clip for years, and I would play that from time to time where she said Huey Lewis is Peter Frampton.
You can't do that to poor Peter Frampton.
Well,
That's not very nice.
Let me tell you what happened. So I played it one day, and he was going to be playing at a casino where I was working, and he heard that, and he was not happy. He was not, he wasn't mad at Connie. He was mad at me. And so, but we've since made up.
That's a mean thing to say about a man, as I'm sure you know.
Oh my gosh! I mean, to proclaim it about a man, yeah, absolutely. tell me about your time with Jim Morrison. That's fascinating.
Well, it was very early on. He lived next door to a friend of mine in Laurel Canyon, right behind the Canyon store. And I heard the Doors music being played. And I went, who has a pre-released record by the Doors? I mean, it hadn't come out yet. This is when I was 17 and just starting to hang out on the strip in Hollywood. I was a big Doors fan. They were a local band. I'd seen them play a few times, and it was incredible. No one was doing what he was doing, what they were doing. There was no sound like that ever before. That's why this time frame people are fascinated with. But I got real stoned and just went down and peeked in the window to see who had that album, and it was Jim himself.
Oh, wow.
Jim Morrison was playing his own record, and all he had on was his black leather pants, and I was just beside myself. I was so high that I walked in there and did a back bend for him because I had just learned how to do that. And he went, get it on. That's what he always said to people, get it on. And then right at that moment, his girlfriend, Pam Corson, walked in and told me, get the F out of my house.
Yeah.
So he followed me, though. He followed me up the stairs back to my friend's house. And we rolled around and made out for a while. He was really a one-woman man, but once in a while they would fight, and I could hang out with him a little bit. But I never did the deed with him because I was young. You know, I was and in those days, there was no pressure for that.
Yeah.
That changed, you know, but in the 60s, there was, you know, he said, oh, okay, you know, let's make out, you know, and that was fun.
He
read me his poetry. He carried poetry books around and would read to me out of them, and that was really amazing.
Did anybody ever write a song about you? Anybody write a song?
Yeah, there have been a few. Robert Plant told me Going to California was about me and a couple other L.A. girls. They loved L.A. These bands would, like, come to Los Angeles, especially Zeppelin, come to Los Angeles and base themselves there. Fly out to the other shows, come back to Los Angeles. And their wives never knew. Their wives did not like them being in Los Angeles.
Right, right. Well, you know, we were talking to Pamela DeBar here in the National Defense, the world's most famous groupie, and you got you talk about this tour where you read from your diary. You're going to be at the world famous Whiskey A Go Go on March 17th. That's going to be an event.
It is an event. I did one on my birthday last September, and it sold out, and people just loved it. And, you know, it was almost unexpected, the response I got. It was so great. And I'm now doing it again. And I'm reading a few different passages, but I read out of the books, tell the stories, show photos, play snippets of songs of people that I went out with or inspired me. I start with Elvis, of course.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
Elvis nut as a child. Yeah, I was an Elvis nut as a little girl. And then Dion.
Oh, wow.
Dion and the Belmonts. He was my next, you know. I joined his fan club at 13, you know. So I was always a music nut. So, and then the Beatles, of course. Wow. I finally met all four Beatles, which was wonderful. Very briefly.
Did you ever have anybody that you turned down that just wanted to go?
Oh, sure, a lot of people. I was very finicky. I was very picky about who I was with, and I never had one-night stands or any of that. I wanted relationships, and I was in that world. So I wound up with these men, and as boyfriends.
Well, and you were in that magical Laurel Canyon situation.
Yes,
I mean, that's
exactly.
So Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Brown and all these people, the Eagles coming up, that had to be a magical time.
Well, I spent a lot of time in Laurel Canyon. Frank Zappa lived there, and I was the governess for their baby, Moon. And I also just went, house to house visiting people. The doors were open. The doors were open. And so were Love's doors in Buffalo Springfield. All the birds, all the birds lived there. And it was, I called it God's Golden Backyard in my first book, I'm with the Band. And
that's
it
so
really
cool.
was.
Ms. Pamela,
no one locked their doors or anything, It was something else. It really was.
Ms. Pamela's Pajama Party podcast. You got to check that out. Pamela, best of luck with everything, man. Great to talk to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My name is Ariel. I'm a strategic sourcing specialist at the Disneyland Resort. Transitioning out of the military is challenging. It can be one of the hardest things you've ever done. That challenge became the beginning of my journey. The military fellowship program allowed me to find the next chapter. It's the pathway to help veterans transition into the private sector. The Walt Disney Company does a great job of letting veterans know that they have a home here and can help them continue to give back to the community and build long-lasting relationships and create magic.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop, download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on the Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. What a fascinating story this is, and a fascinating guy, Nick Friedman. Nick is the guy behind, entrepreneur, co-founder of the $300 million company, College Hunks Hauling Junk and Moving, and he's got a lot going on here. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey, first of all, about this company, how old were you when you started this thing?
So I was in college when we started College Hunks Hauling Junk. We were home for summer vacation. It was my buddy from high school, and his mom had a beat-up cargo van, and she offered us to borrow the van, and she's actually one who called us College Hunks Who Could Haul Junk, and we thought it was a catchy way to make the phone ring. So I would tell the story. We had the 800 number on the back of the truck routed to our cell phone, and people would call the 800 number to complain about driving, and I'd be in the driver's seat pretending like I wasn't the one driving, you know, hey, yeah, we're going to fire those guys when they get back to the office. So it was humble beginnings, but, you know, here we are, you know, over 15 years later and, you know, over 200 franchises around the country. So
wow.
It's been a fun journey.
Yeah, and you went on Shark Tank and turned them down, right?
We were on the very first episode of the very first season of Shark Tank, of all things. We ended up turning down an offer from Robert Herjavec, one of the sharks. And at the time, it was probably a fair offer, but, you know, now the business is much bigger. So then about a year ago, we were on Undercover Boss, and it was fun because we kind of had the arc of, you know, asking for money on Shark Tank to giving out money on Undercover Boss. So it was kind of a full arc, you know, over a decade later.
That's pretty cool. We're talking to Nick Friedman here in the National Defense, entrepreneur, co-founder of College Hunks Hauling Junk and Moving. But you're here to talk about this movie that is also incredible to me, that nobody has done a movie on Jeff Bezos before. It's called Bezos the Beginning, and you actually star in the movie as the first employee of Amazon. It's Shel Kaplan, right?
Yes, that's correct. So I like to joke. I tell my mom that I went from the moving business to the movie business. But I met the guy who plays Bezos in the movie, Armando Gutierrez, and he was telling me about how he bought the script and was going to make the first movie ever about the founding of Amazon. And like you, I was shocked that that hadn't been done yet, and seemed like something that I could really get behind, you know, having been on television programs and always interested to share inspiring entrepreneurship stories. There's no better story to be told than, you know, one of the most successful entrepreneurship success stories of our time with Bezos and Amazon. So I said, hey, I'd love to be involved either as a producer or an actor or both. And he said, well, how about both? So as you mentioned, I play the role of Shel Kaplan, who's the very first employee Bezos recruited when launching Amazon in his garage. And the person who I play in the movie basically spent all his time coding and developing the website while Bezos was out on the road raising capital and looking for investors.
Yeah, I just watched your scene where you apply for the job. You didn't think you were applying for a job, and you met with Bezos at a coffee shop. How true to life is that this guy comes in just cocky, full of himself, and basically says, you'd be lucky to have me?
Everything in the movie is based on a book called Zero to Hero by R.V. Romero, and it's all factual accounts and historical media reports and anecdotes or interviews. Either with Kaplan or Bezos or other accounts, and so as far as we know, it's completely true that Bezos invited this guy to a coffee shop to talk about this business, but then started trying to interview him, and Shel was like, wait a minute, like, you'd be lucky to have me. I'm the best programmer around, and Bezos kind of softens his approach. He's like, you're probably right. So, but we do see that tension start at the beginning when they first meet, and it kind of plays itself out throughout the entire movie as Shel's kind of, you know, slaving away in the garage trying to get the website going, and Bezos is out on the road, there's definitely some tension and friction there.
We're talking to Nick Friedman here on the National Defense and the new film Bezos, The Beginning. And it's where can we see this thing? This is going to be on it starts this week, right?
Yeah, it's coming out January 24th, and it's going to be on all the streaming platforms. If you think iTunes, Apple TV, Amazon Movies Now, Google Play, Vimeo, and you know, any other video on demand platform that's out there. And so, yeah, definitely encourage the listeners to check it out. It's kind of an inspirational, fun movie about the starting of Amazon and the challenges that Bezos faced that we may not even remember. You know, he started with just selling books online and had to deal with the CEO of Barnes & Noble trying to put him out of business and, you know, the tensions with his early employees. So it was definitely a fun movie to be a part of, and looking forward to sharing it with folks.
So, Nick, I mean, this first employee, Shell, this guy's got to be doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's all relative. In the movie, we see Shell kind of frustrated that he's not getting the same amount of founders' shares as Bezos and his wife and parents. And that really happened in real life and severed the relationship between Shell and Bezos. And we've seen that in interviews that Shell has done since Amazon. Now, I don't think he's hurting. I think he's still got some amount of shares, and because Amazon's so big, the guy Shell is known to be a worth a couple billion net worth. So I wouldn't feel sorry for the guy, but relative to McKinsey, who's worth $60 billion, and
right.
Bezos' parents, who are probably worth $20 or $30 billion, it's he's still maybe feeling like he didn't get what he deserved.
So now you've got the acting bug. I mean, you've appeared in a few things, and then you sign on to executive produce this project, and then you end up playing one of the leads. And it kind of reminds me, Nick, of, I don't know if you ever saw a movie with Warren Beatty called Heaven Can Wait. He buys a football team, and he signs on as the starting quarterback.
You know, I do like to joke that I kind of, snuck into Hollywood through the back door. I mean, I'm kind of checking off maybe a childhood dream or bucket list. And, you mentioned Heaven Can Wait. You know, as a kid, I probably dreamed of playing in the NBA or being a movie star, and that didn't quite pan out. And I ended up being an entrepreneur, founder of College Hunt Calling Junk and Moving instead. But because of the opportunities that have presented themselves, I've been able to get involved in acting and movie producing, which is pretty fun to see that play itself out. And I think a testament to sort of lifestyle creation and manifesting opportunities through entrepreneurship as well.
I mean, what an inspirational story all the way around you have. I mean, you start starting this giant company out of nothing, and all the franchisees, and then kind of creating your own path. I mean, it's very inspirational. And you do have a book out too, right?
I do, yeah. So we published a book called Effortless Entrepreneur, Work Smart, Play Hard. And it was kind of written at the time, what is it that we wish we had learned in high school and college and in the early days of our business that we've now sort of learned through the other books and mentors that we've been fortunate to surround ourselves with. So that coupled with this movie and then kind of the story of College Hunk Calling Junk in general is something that we're all very passionate about at our company, is inspiring leaders, inspiring entrepreneurship, and giving people the confidence and tools to be successful.
How cool. Nick, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Way to go. Continued success. And the movie Bezos, The Beginning, streaming everywhere starting this week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Now, the Small Business Breakdown from the Pat Miller Show.
America's Small Business Conversation.
Now your host, Pat Miller.
Small business owners, we're in the news, and it's not favorable. You see, the Supreme Court overturned President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. And those that were waiting for the forgiveness are mad at small business owners. They think that our PPP program was just a handout to fat cats, like we're all rich or something. If you hear someone say that, walk away from them, because they're rewriting history. The PPP PPP program was for small business owners to pay our employees, or the loan wouldn't be forgiven. Last I checked, 48% of the country works for a small business. It was a critical way to keep the lights on and keep people working. Don't fall for the hype. The PPP program was great, and it saved a ton of jobs.
Join America's Small Business Conversation
on The Pat Miller Show.
Available now at patmillershow.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons, or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
One Safe Place, Children's Legacy Center, and Tri-Counties Bank present the second annual Crab Feed After Party, February 3rd, at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Doors open at 7:30, featuring the Lance Michael Cornwell Band with opening act California-grown band. Proceeds from this party help provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets available at osbshasta.org. The After Party, February 3rd, Shasta District Fairgrounds, 7:30 doors, 21 and up. Brought to you in part by Umpqua Bank Action News, now, and this station.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Limp and Lenny Matthews for our show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m., brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions.
530-605-4517.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. I got to tell you what, man. I've had a lot of funny guys on this show, but I don't think any of them any funnier than Tom Tran. Tom is with us here. Tom, how you doing?
What's happening, Randy?
Great to talk to you again. You know, you did the GIs of Comedy tour, and so a couple things I didn't know about you personally that I've discovered. Number one,
that I am devastatingly handsome.
Well, I knew that part, especially with your new haircut. Did you get a haircut?
I did. I got a haircut. I had to, because like every few months I get this wild hair up my butt, and I'm like, I was in the Army a long time. My hair was really short for like a long time, so I'm gonna grow my hair out. And then one of two things will happen. I'll drive into Koreatown, and I'll see another Asian with long hair. I'll go, that's ridiculous. I need to cut my hair.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, or I wind up having to, like, I book a movie or something. And in this case, I didn't go into Koreatown. So I'm shooting a movie this weekend. Thank God my buddy's shooting this movie, or else I would, you know,
I'd walk around looking like Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls circa 1995.
It's the Asian version of who's the guy in the Matrix?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen Keanu Reeves with long hair?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's you.
I once got described as John Bon Jovi and Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls having a kid sometime in like early 1995. I was like, that's the worst description of my hair.
You know who Cal Penn is?
Oh, yeah, I love Cal.
All right, so I had Cal on the show and reading his book right now. And it is hysterical. It's his memoir and about his many encounters with trying to break into Hollywood, and just all of the questions about his ethnicity and can you do an Indian accent and all of this stuff. But he's got nothing on you, my friend. I mean, okay, first of all, you're born in Vietnam shortly after the Vietnam War ended.
Mm-hmm.
Combat veteran, Purple Heart recipient. You you got two bullets in the back of your head, and then you get into comedy.
One bullet to the back of my head, and you left out devastatingly handsome.
Well, that's when I thought you had two bullets.
It's just mildly handsome now.
That's right. So how was that whole transition situation for you?
I mean, you know, getting shot in the head will change a person.
Well,
before that happened,
that's
I was
true.
You know, before I got wounded in Iraq, I was this good-looking, tall black man. Now I'm just a 5'7" Asian guy. So big change in my life.
Well, listen, you're so funny. I've been watching your videos on YouTube all afternoon. And when you talk about what you could get away with a Purple Heart, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? My doctor at the VA says getting shot in the head was the worst thing that ever happened to me. Not because, you know, I almost died. But anytime I go to the hospital, if it's not getting shot in the head, I'm like, I'm fine. Just give me ibuprofen. Like, I got hit. I was riding my bicycle home from the gym, and I got hit by a car. Like, legitimately got hit by a car. And I went to the doctor the next day. And my doctor, who listens to me on the radio because I work on the radio here in L.A., he goes, oh, I didn't hear you on the radio today. Did this just happen? I said, no, it happened yesterday. He goes, why didn't you come in yesterday? I was like, it's not like I got shot in the head. He's like, don't say that. It's like, stop saying that. If you get hit by a car, you come into the hospital immediately. I'm like, well, I got shot in the head and didn't go to the hospital immediately. I ran another mission before we went to the hospital, so.
Ah, that's so good. And now you're getting all these TV and movie roles.
I mean, wouldn't say I'm getting a lot of them.
Well,
every once in a while I show up on a TV show. I did a CBS show last year called The United States of Al.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is about a Marine that brings his Afghan interpreter back to the States. And he moves in with him in Columbus, Ohio, of all places, which, for those who don't know, Columbus, Ohio, the home of the U.S. Military Veterans Memorial and Museum.
Oh, see.
Of which I am part of permanent display in that museum.
Oh, man. I can just imagine. You know, and the people that are – now, do you face those same kind of stereotypical roles offered to you, like a Cal Penn?
I mean – usually when I walk into the room, they're like, can you do an Asian accent? And
right.
I'm like, no.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know what? That's what Cal Penn did. And they would say, but he would say, what kind of accent do you want? You want Yiddish? You want Scottish? And they go, no, we want you to do your Indian accent. And he would say, this is the way I talk.
Yeah. I did, it's a funny story. I did an episode of SEAL Team a few years ago. Show on CBS. And funny enough, didn't play a SEAL. Also didn't – I played a Marine on United States of Al, which for those of us in the know, I was in the Army. So I took a little umbrage with being a Marine. I carried around a purple crayon in my pocket for 3 days on set. And when I turned in my wardrobe, the wardrobe people were like, why is your pocket purple? And all I said was, it's the most delicious color. And walked away. And nobody but the two Navy guys that worked on production understood what that meant.
Oh, I bet you caught crap from your Army buddies.
I haven't been on the show again. No, it was It was good. They, you know, it's fun. I catch a little hell. But you know, we're all proud of each other when somebody does good.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Either from somebody I served with or, you know, somebody I went to high school with. They're like, hey man, you know, I saw you on whatever show. I said, somebody, a guy from high school called me. He's like, I saw you on Blackish. I was like, yeah, cool. He's like, that's weird. Because you're not black at all. Not even ish. I was like, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. I like how the perception is of anything these days. You know, people just have their own little thing where they can just tell you, I saw you out at the grocery store. What are you trying to make a stand about something? What?
Yeah, that's what? Why I use DoorDash. I don't go to the grocery store anymore. I'm semi-famous, so I have enough money to do that.
Hey, speaking of SEAL Team, we got Tony Trucks on this week too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah. So, So SEAL Team. So the way I wound up playing a newscaster, like a talking head, international news broadcaster. And when my agent called me, he said, hey, casting director wants you to come in. You know, the director knows you, the producer knows you. They want you to come in for this audition, but they asked if you could do an accent. And of course, my first thought is, what, you know,
yeah,
right. They want me to do an Asian accent. And my agent goes, no, they want to do Australian. I was like, what? Tran doesn't sound Australian. He goes, yeah, that's weird. I was like, yeah, you said they know who I am. So I went in and, I can't do an Australian accent, but I can do an Irish accent. I could do a cracking Irish accent. And I walked in and I start doing the lines in this terrible Irish accent. And the casting director goes, stop. Do you know the difference between Irish and Australian? And I said, oh, I do, but my accent does it. And, so I left and I'm like, there's no way I got that. Like I just burned that audition. And CBS Radford, which is where they shoot SEAL Team, it's like 6 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
From the moment I drove home from the studio, I pulled into my driveway and my agent calls and goes, yeah, so you booked the role.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, they know the difference between Irish and Australian? Because it's not what I did.
That's when you know that, you know, you got something. When you can't even do the accent and you get hired anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess, I mean, yeah.
Hey, now,
I'm a broadcaster by trade, so.
Now, you performed for the troops, right, in Iraq?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first things I wanted to do when I became a professional stand-up comedian.
I'll bet.
You know, I left the Army, and, you know, I wanted to still keep taking care of soldiers. And if the only way I could do it was, you know, with stand-up comedy, I wanted to get back. So my first time back in Iraq was 2008. Like, I just moved to Los Angeles. I just did a movie, and then my agent called and said, hey, you're going to Iraq.
Wow.
To do stand-up for 2 weeks. And I've been back a couple times since then.
That's got to be cool.
Yeah, I ran into when I went back to do stand-up, I actually, because once I left the line unit, I was a recruiter for about a year before I got out medically, and I wound up at the dining facility at Camp Arif John in Kuwait. And I ran into a soldier that I had put into the Army.
Wow.
He was like an E nothing, you know, when I met him, obviously
right.
He was like a E1, E2 when I put him in, he's an E1. And then, he left for basic, you know, I probably saw him once or twice after that. And then I got out and I medically retired. And then, you know, my entertainment career took over. So I show up in Iraq. in Kuwait, and he's coming out of the dining facility. He's like, Sergeant Tran? I was like, no way, dude.
did he think he'd been pumped?
Yeah, he was like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? And who made you a corporal? Like, I wouldn't have made you an E2.
Well, here's the thing, though, Tom. I mean, you were a recruiter after your injury.
Yeah.
That's a horrible job for you.
Oh, it was a terrible job.
I got shot in the head. You should join.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was more like, you know, you spend your life and your career jumping out of planes and kicking down doors and things like that. And they're like, oh, go sit behind this desk.
Right. And,
that's what it was.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
I wound up being a great recruiter because I truly loved the Army and I loved what I did. And I, you know, yeah, I just came back and I didn't lead with, I got shot in the head. I save that for blind dates with supermodels. You know?
Exactly.
I save that for somebody I'm trying to whatever. But you know, I didn't lead off with an 18-year-old kid who's like, hey, guess what I just did? You know?
Yeah.
It was,
right.
But I would say, hey, this dangerous stuff happens, and you know, it would eventually come out, but
well, yeah, and it's that's a reality.
My name is Ariel. I'm a strategic sourcing specialist at the Disneyland Resort. Transitioning out of the military is challenging. It can be one of the hardest things you've ever done. That challenge became the beginning of my journey. The military fellowship program allowed me to find the next chapter. It's the pathway to help veterans transition into the private sector. The Walt Disney Company does a great job of letting veterans know that they have a home here and can help them continue to give back to the community and build long-lasting relationships and create magic.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop, download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Many chicks now. I used to say I was on the radio. AM didn't matter. FM, now it's like my Tinder is exploding.
Right. Well, now, what do you do? What do you, what's your deal? Are you a co-host? Are you a leading guy? What do you do?
I'm the traffic anchor.
You're the traffic anchor.
Yes. Yeah,
so you're the traffic anchor with the lighthearted, that brings in the lighthearted, situations, I guess, huh?
Yeah. People have described me as the dude at the bar telling you to where to avoid the cops. Like, that's kind of my delivery. Because I am a stand-up comic, but I also went to school for broadcast journalism. I was a PAO for a short time in the Army. I went into the Army as a communications guy. You know, so broadcasting has been my entire life. I wanted to be Adrian Kronhauer from Good Morning Vietnam when I enlisted. And I remember going into my recruiter and said, "Hey, I want to do this job. And, you know, I want to be on Armed Forces Network." And
you are right now.
Yeah. I wanted it for the MOS.
Right. But, sure.
My recruiter, being a recruiter, said, "Well, that job isn't available right now. All the slots are full." Then he said, "But we have a radio job for you in a special operations unit." And I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, okay, so in my head, I'm playing AC/DC as I'm jumping out of an airplane. Right. The pipe hitters are, like, going down to dispatch some bad guys.
Right.
Nope, not my job. Completely not my job. 100% not what I did.
I didn't know until recently that the entire shebang for American Forces Radio Network is out of Riverside, California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had no idea that that's where it originated.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty wild because it's just all overseas.
I got lost on March Air Reserve Base not long ago because I don't follow signs. And I wound up in a secure area on a live active military installation.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And
Wait a minute.
I was like,
you don't follow signs and you're a traffic reporter?
Listen, I don't know. I don't want you to judge me. Do not judge me. Well, here's the thing. So there was a sign, and it very clearly said, "Do not enter." And I saw a bunch of other vehicles driving through this very clearly marked "Do not enter" sign. So I'm like, I'm not going to go that way. So I went a different way, and then I wound up getting lost. And then I stopped, and I'm like, okay, this is bad. Like 15 minutes into this lost drive. And then two SPs, Air Force security police, pull up behind me, and they're like, "Hey, we got a call about a Tesla driving around lost in a secured area." I'm like, "Yeah, that's me. I've got purple heart plates." And so they're like, "What are you doing out here, Sergeant?" I'm like, "I'm lost." And then one of the other SPs gets out of the car and goes, "Hey, man, were you at the Ontario Improv last night?" I was like, "I was."
Seriously?
To help? He's like, "Yeah, man, you were really funny." So he tells to his partner, he goes, "He's fine. He's just an idiot." And then, that's it. I got in my
that's
car
funny.
And I followed them out.
That is
so
great.
I didn't get arrested. But I did call my old commander who worked at the Pentagon. I was like, "Hey, you might have to bail me out of jail. I'll explain later." But
If you can tell anybody how to get around anything in L.A., more power to you, man. I mean, and nobody needs a laugh more than the drivers in L.A. My daughter lives in L.A. And
so we
always make a pact when I come out there. I go, I want to travel no more than 1.4 miles away from where you live, because it's crazy. I mean, you try to tell people that, you know, have never been there, but it is nuts.
I have broken up with women because they live.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, distance is a real relationship killer. Like, there was a girl. Okay, for anybody who doesn't know Los Angeles, I live in the Northern Valley, which is like Universal City and all that.
Right.
And I dated a girl in Huntington Beach, which is, as the crow flies, 30 miles away.
Yeah.
LA traffic, that's like a 3-hour drive on a good day.
Right.
And this was before I had an electric car, and this is when I was driving like a big SUV. And one day I was just like, "Hey, we can't do this anymore. Gas prices are like $5 a gallon,
right.
And you are not that good of a kisser, and I cannot spend 3 hours a day in traffic to come have this mediocre dinner."
You're right.
Right. And,
it's just not good enough.
Yeah, but it turns out she wound up marrying a guy who was a fan of mine, and she hated that.
How bad?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, she called me to tell me her new boyfriend was he was in the Air Force. He had seen me performing at an RAF in England.
Wow.
And he wanted to take her to see me at a comedy club, and boy, she was angry.
She probably said, "That's way too far. We can't drive that far."
No, I was actually I was performing close to them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, hey, this is something that is not said very much by the USO, that calling you the funniest service member. That's a, I mean, they've had a few. It's pretty, pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, I won that competition 3 years in a row. They made me stop. Actually made me stop doing it. It was a fundraiser for the Bob Hope USO here in Los Angeles at LAX. And, it was shortly after I moved to Los Angeles and they were looking, they were doing a competition and they wanted to see, you know, who the funniest service members were. Cause of course, Bob Hope, when you think military comedy, Bob Hope is who you immediately go to. And the Bob Hope USO wanted to find a funny service member. So I wound up winning the first year and then the second year and then the third year. And then they went, you have to stop doing that. And,
step aside. Let's give somebody else a chance, Tom.
Yeah. So at that point, the GIs of comedy had been created and, I was, you know, we were going on the road and we were performing. So I handed over my crown and we went on the road and, started performing at bases across the country and then across Europe. And I think it's been 27 countries.
Oh, wow. Wow.
40 plus states. Our first tour, our That's first incredible. Overseas tour was, I just remember getting the tour. Any of the tour information, our first show ever overseas was at Thule Air Force Base in Greenland.
Oh, wow. Wow. What?
Yes.
What time of year would that be?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's Thule Air Force Base in Greenland.
Right. Right.
It was, I think it was March, though. I quit smoking in January because I just thought, yeah, that's not happening. I'm going to give myself 2 months to quit smoking because there's no way I'm going to smoke in negative 30 degree weather. So our first show of the tour was in Thule, Greenland on a Sunday. And then the next show was on Tuesday in Honduras.
Oh, so we my went gosh.
From Greenland to Honduras. Well, we went Greenland to Miami, Miami to Honduras, and then El Salvador. But I remember getting that tour information, and then I called the folks at the Pentagon. And a staff sergeant picks up, and I am livid because I had quit smoking, and I was just told I was going to Greenland. So I said, who is the idiot that booked us a show in Greenland and then in Honduras? And then all I hear is, hey, Lieutenant, there's a phone call for you. And I went, never mind.
Yeah, I got to go.
But, you just answered my question.
So, Tom, you're still performing around L.A. as well?
I am. I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach, actually, where the GIs of Comedy started, well, they were created, this Sunday, January 19th. I'm shooting a movie this week. That's why I'm not doing any more other shows. I finished shooting on Saturday. So everything is kind of ramping up to that.
That's cool.
I've got a new band that I'm working on. I'm actually producing a music video for the band, and we were recording some tracks last night in my studio. So, that's my new project. Yeah, it's a Star Trek themed Motley Crue cover band. yeah. It's a real thing. We're called the Bridge Crew.
The Bridge Crew. Wow, what a cool name.
And Crew is spelled C-R-U-E, like Motley Crue.
I got to check them out.
Yeah. You can go to the website, thebridgecrew.com.
And we can go to your website for all the tour information and all the latest stuff on you.
Oh, I should probably update that website, shouldn't I? I stopped updating it during COVID. The website's still up. TomTran.com, TomTran.com. That's
Are you going to be doing any performances? You think at the end of February?
At the end, yeah, probably.
Because I'm going to be out in February visiting my daughter.
Actually, I just got booked for a couple shows at the beginning of the month. So, yeah, probably closer to the end of the month.
Oh, cool. Oh, man.
I usually find out the week before. So
I'm going to come see you. Yeah, you're a funny dude. And I just appreciate everything you're doing for the veterans, of course, and for active duty military. Just some great stuff.
Groovy. Yeah, man. Well, let me know when you come out here.
I'll do it. Thank you, Tom.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The new year is a great time to have a conversation with your teen about building positive online habits. Visit Meta's Family Center to see the many tools that exist to help teens and families manage their time online. The site includes expert-backed guidance to support teens in having positive online experiences and tips for parents and caregivers. Some of the tools include a full screen reminder after teens have spent a few minutes on Instagram Reels late at night, and notifications to look at something different if they've been scrolling the same topic for a while. And quiet mode gives teens more ways to focus and set boundaries with friends and family. Parents can set time limits for their child and be notified when their teen reports or blocks someone. There are also supervision tools that give visibility into how much time their teen spends on Instagram, Facebook, and in virtual reality. For more information, visit familycenter.meta.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.